You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On Wolves fan rig website if you wanted written content on the Timberwolves, as well as checking out the Locked On Podcast Network home site and their podcast as well for a bunch of NBA content, a bunch of really good podcasts. That's kind of where they, the hosts all combine on podcasts and hosting that. And so those are really good as well. Check those out. Today, we are going to be previewing the Dallas Mavericks, going to be looking ahead to the Mavericks game, looking ahead to the Utah Jazz game, the games of the weekend. The Jazz, again, the other night lost in a buzzer-beater game against the Boston Celtics. So the Timberwolves Thursday had the leg up on the Jazz in the seventh seed. Hopefully over the weekend the Timberwolves can maintain and build off of that. Really important games here for the Timberwolves down the stretch, and this weekend playing the Jazz is probably one of the most crucial pair of games that they have over the next couple of weeks closing out the season. Here to help me break it all down, Mitchell Hansen is joining me to talk Timberwolves basketball, cover these games with me. Mitch, thanks for joining the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Always a welcome guest here on the Locked On Wolves podcast. First of all, headed into this Dallas Mavericks game, wanted to talk a little bit about this. The three games that the Timberwolves have played the Mavericks have gone as follows: 112-99 win, 111-87 win, and 97-92 win, all for the Timberwolves. Now, the obvious question you got to ask is, what does Towns do to follow up that 56-point game that we talked about yesterday against the Atlanta Hawks when he's playing a down team like the Dallas Mavericks? Again, not a very good squad. And this season, he's averaged 24.7 points per game against the Mavericks. Do you think he has another explosion? Do you see a lot of shots from Towns against the Mavericks in this one?
I do. I mean, I don't think to the extent of the Atlanta game with him obviously dropping 56 points, but you know, the thing without Jimmy Butler that Minnesota's kind of gravitated towards is giving Towns the ball, which, you know, they have seen a lot of benefits from doing that. So I would anticipate, especially coming off a game like he did against the Hawks, that, you know, they do feed him early and often, and that, you know, he kind of has a good game, like he did against the Hawks, maybe not to that extent, maybe around the 30-point mark. But I would anticipate him, you know, having a good game as well, especially against Dallas. I mean, the Wolves got to take care of business no matter who it is. And, you know, they've played against two kind of down teams here the last few games, and they've struggled against those teams. So, it'll be important for Minnesota to get out to an early lead. And, Towns is a big part of that. And I would anticipate them kind of running the offense through him against Dallas.
And I think almost as crucial as winning here is if the Timberwolves can jump out to a lead early. I really would like to see in one of these games that against a really poor opponent, I'd really like to see the Timberwolves actually give their starters some rest. Towns played 41 minutes against the Atlanta Hawks. I believe Wiggins played 36 minutes. It was nearly 37 against the Hawks. And they obviously, in a game they lost against the Grizzlies, they're playing a bulk of those minutes as well. So really here for this one, I think it's almost as crucial to jump out to a lead early so you can get that bench involved pretty early on. I'd really like to see only 30 minutes from Towns and Wiggins here. Do you think that there's a chance of that happening tonight or against the Mavericks?
I would say maybe not. I don't think we'll see crazy high numbers from those guys. You know, it's kind of hard to predict with Tibbs, and it's kind of hard to, even if, you know, Minnesota does jump out to a lead, we haven't seen him really rest his guys all that much. So I wouldn't think that, we'll see them, you know, not play a lot. I think they'll play kind of similar to what they have the whole year, depending on obviously how big of a lead they have, if they have a lead. It'll be important, kind of like what you touched on a little bit ago. It'll be important for Minnesota to get out to an early lead, especially in the first quarter, first half, because the thing that they've kind of struggled with over the last few games against Memphis and Atlanta, they've kind of let those teams get into the game. They let them stick around. They let them kind of hang in there. And that, when you play tough teams or kind of teams that are struggling, like Dallas is as well, you know, that gives them a lot of confidence, and that, you know, that kind of lets them play freely, and it, they end up being a dangerous team, you know, the longer that they stick around in the game, especially going into the second half. So I think that that'll be a big thing for Minnesota. They obviously have to, this is any game, but they have to get out to a lead early on, and they need to hang on to that lead. And if they're able to, you know, kind of get some momentum in the first half, I think this game will be over, you know, in the first half. So, you know, going back to Towns, he's going to be an important factor. It would be nice to see them, you know, him, Wiggins, or even, you know, the starters in general. It would be nice to see their minutes kind of go down, especially with, you know, going into that Utah game. That Utah game will be very important coming up. So, you know, it would be nice to see their minutes down, but, you know, I don't know if that'll be the case with a Thibodeau-run team.
I want to move on to the Utah Jazz game, because, like you said, that's the game that everybody's really mm-hmm. focusing on this weekend if you care about the Timberwolves. But just as far as the Dallas game, closing this conversation out, is there any way to expect or predict what the Timberwolves are going to look like against the Mavericks? This is a bad Mavericks team, and it's still really hard to know exactly what you're going to get from the Timberwolves. Is there a way to kind of, is there certain things in the first half of this game you're looking for from the Timberwolves to give you confidence to say, yeah, they're going to close this one out just fine?
I think that the big thing for Minnesota is the way they start off games. I mean, you know, it sounds simple, but, you know, they have that first quarter struggle that, you know, that they've dealt with against teams that, especially struggling teams like I said, Atlanta and Memphis. You know, they let up a you know, kind of a big first quarter to those opponents. I mean, I think it was against Atlanta, they let up like 32 points or something like that in the first quarter, which, mm-hmm. you know, against a team that's, you know, near the bottom or at the bottom of the league, that's, you know, that's not great to give up high or mid-30s or even high 30s in the first quarter. So I think that the biggest thing for me that I'll be watching is, you know, the energy level that Minnesota comes out with in the first quarter, because that'll be a indication of whether or not they, you know, that they're there to play, or they're you know, going to rise up against an opponent that's been struggling this year, which has been a tough task for them. So, you know, it'll be important, and I think that, you know, they need to go through, like I keep saying this, but they need to go through Towns, and that'll be important to get off to that quick start that I'm talking about. So it'll be important that first quarter, just kind of see what kind of energy and what kind of, you know, pace and tempo that Minnesota plays with.
Talking with the Flying Hawaiian, Brandon Scarborough, the other day, kind of recapping the 56-point game for Towns, I expressed how I was very comfortable with Towns kind of averaging out that 20 shot attempts per game, because if you look at the 32 he took yesterday as far as shot attempts, that's the most in his career in the NBA. And he produced not only a great, phenomenal performance, but he also shot 75% from three-point range, which was the first time he shot that well when shooting over taking over six attempts from three-point range. And so if he's taking a bunch of shots, I just feel that he is going to play better, and he's not one of those guys that's going to suck up a bunch of shots for misses, you know. And so I'm totally comfortable with him taking more shots and more of the offense being run through him.
I agree with that, and I, you know, the thing that we noticed too within that 56 point performance the other night was that, you know, in the fourth quarter I'm referring to Towns, he kind of struggled from the field. I think he was like 1-for-6 to start off the fourth quarter or something like that, and you saw a lot of, you know, him kind of backing up, stretching it out to shoot from behind the arc. And during a timeout, Tibbs was, you know, kind of on him about, you know, getting back into the paint. That Minnesota wants to run through Towns in the paint. And I think that's an important thing as well. They need to run through him and focus on him being in the paint with his ability to also be able to stretch his shot out from beyond the arc, I think is important. So, you know, as far as, you know, where Towns takes shots, I mean, obviously if shots are falling, it doesn't matter where he's shooting from, honestly, but, you know, if he's, you know, it'll be a good indication early on in the game as well. You know, if he is struggling from beyond the arc or, you know, outside of the paint, it'll be important for Minnesota to get him into the paint and focus on running the offense through him in the paint. But, you know, obviously when Towns is on like he was the other night, it doesn't really matter where he's shooting from, and that's obviously a good sign for Minnesota when that does happen.
We're going to take a look at the Utah Jazz game now, but first, a break for some sponsors. We've said this a couple times already. This is a really important game because as of right now, the Timberwolves are a game ahead of the Jazz. 43 wins, 33 losses for Minnesota, 42 and 33 for Utah. Minnesota's in the 7th spot. Utah's in the 8th spot. LA is just on the outside looking in at the 9th spot with 41 and 34. And San Antonio is in that 6th spot at 43 and 32. Very tight there. And the prize there, obviously, is getting that 6th spot, not having to play either Houston or Golden State. And Utah took just a heartbreaking loss to the Boston Celtics with that game winner from Jaylen Brown coming in the last 14 seconds of the game. And as the Dallas Mavericks play the Timberwolves, the Grizzlies are going to be playing the Jazz. So you got to kind of assume that one's going to be a win for the Jazz, which means that going into this game, the Timberwolves really need to win this game to get the tiebreaker over the Jazz in case they end up with the same record at the end of the year, but also give them another game cushion over the Jazz. Incredibly important game for the Timberwolves to win. And I was looking over the games that the Timberwolves played the Jazz so far this season. Obviously, they are 2-1 over the Jazz, the last loss coming just a few weeks ago to the Jazz. But the thing that stuck out to me was in the first couple games, I was looking at those games, getting ready for those games. I was a little worried about Rodney Hood and what he could do from the outside against the Timberwolves. And he shot well in both those games from the perimeter. And he ended up with 20 and 16 in those two games that were wins for the Timberwolves. In the game that the Timberwolves lost to the Jazz, they did a really good job of banging the ball down low to Rudy Gobert and to Favors and getting it to their forwards and their star center down low. And all those guys had double-doubles, and then they would kick it out. And as a result of that, Donovan Mitchell had a 26-point game as well. So those bigs making a big impact down low early and those big guys really rumbling around in the paint and then kicking it out to one guy, Donovan Mitchell, who they know can knock down shots for him. That formula really worked well against the Timberwolves for the Jazz. Can they do that again, and should that be what Timberwolves fans are worried about in this game?
Yeah, I think that, you know, Utah, the thing about Utah is they're so well-balanced. I mean, they have, you know, that inside presence in Derek Favors, that physical presence. They have, you know, Rudy Gobert that's not going to drop 30 points on you every night, but, you know, he's going to, you know, be a brute on both ends of the floor. I mean, you mentioned Donovan Mitchell. He's dangerous basically wherever on the court. He's having an impressive rookie year. And then you have, you know, a facilitator like Rubio, and then you have a sharpshooter like Joe Ingles that'll hurt you. So, you know, they have a little bit of everything, which, you know, is kind of dangerous, especially with, you know, with them playing, you know, with the kind of the chemistry and kind of confidence that they're playing with right now. But, you know, to your point, I think that, you know, the formula to beat, try and beat Minnesota is play, you know, inside out to, you know, like you said, kind of push the ball into the paint, you know, force Towns and Gibson to try and defend those two big guys. And, you know, if Utah is able to do that and, you know, get the ball into the paint and work inside out, you know, maybe they'll find, you know, guys like Mitchell, maybe they'll find guys like Ingles, maybe even Rubio could hurt them. You know, that'll be an important thing for Utah. And I think that, you know, especially for Utah, that is a formula that they've kind of been rolling with and the formula that they've found success in. And, you know, I would anticipate, you know, a lot of that happening again. But, you know, for me, you know, it's all about Minnesota minimizing, you know, Utah's threes. I mean, that's been something that Minnesota struggled with all year with opponents and their ability to hurt them from beyond the arc. So I think that'll be a big thing. You can live with, you know, maybe Rudy Gobert or Derek Favors having good games. But I don't think you'll be able to live with, you know, those two guys getting some numbers, both that being Favors and Rudy Gobert, along with, you know, Ingles getting his, you know, his stats and as well as Mitchell going off. So, you know, they need to focus on, kind of, I think on the outside, you know, those two guys that I mentioned, Ingles and Mitchell, and as well as trying to keep Favors and Rudy Gobert in check inside. So that sounds like a lot, which it might be a tough task for Minnesota, but especially with Utah playing really well. But I think that'll be a good game, and it'll certainly be an important one when both teams match up.
Well, and that's the real thing that kind of sticks in your craw if you're looking at this game. If you're thinking, well, the only guys I really, really have to worry about are Gobert and Donovan Mitchell from the inside out. If you had Jimmy Butler for this game, right, I think that he could really lock up Mitchell from the outside. But you have Andrew Wiggins, who's probably going to get the bulk of the assignment on Mitchell. And you just don't know what kind of Wiggins you're going to get. It is a big game, and it could get Wiggins up enough to where he has one of those 30-point games, and he's creating turnovers and he's playing really well. Or you could have the game where he's kind of just putting together a quiet 17 points and he's so on defense, depending on possession throughout the night. And if you're the Timberwolves, the scariest part of this is that Rudy Gobert, I think, goes toe-to-toe with Towns anyways, mm-hmm. but he has the edge when he gets to pitch it out to a guy like Donovan Mitchell. And so that's the part mm-hmm. that really is worrisome. And that's what really worked for this team. And both those guys put 26 points last time these two clashed because of that pairing, because of the way they're able to play off each other. So when I'm looking at this, not a lot of guys on the Jazz scare me too much. It was kind of funny watching Ricky Rubio brick shot. It was a 15-footer late in that Celtics game that maybe could have been the difference, and kind of laughing to myself thinking, oh, the Timberwolves saw a lot of that when he was there. I know I'm a Ricky Rubio hater, as it's been documented on the show, but it's just something I noticed. But there's not a ton of guys who can scare me as far as electric scoring, and outside of Gobert and Mitchell, but those two play so well off each other that it's going to take a top-of-the-line defensive performance from somebody on the Timberwolves, and I don't know who that's going to be.
Right. Yeah. I think that, I do agree with you that, Wiggins is, I think, the key piece in this game. Obviously you're going to have, I think Rudy Gobert is, he is one of the top, defensive centers, defensive post guys in the league. He's going to, him and Towns are going to have their battle, but, it will be Wiggins. It'll be up to Wiggins to kind of, like you said, show that effort and that tenacity that we've seen a little bit of flashes down the stretch of the season here. He needs to have that kind of game. He's going to be a key piece in trying to carry Minnesota, because, I think that him and Mitchell are going to be, kind of going back and forth, especially late in the game. As far as the point guard matchup with Jeff Teague and Ricky Rubio, that's kind of been one that's been interesting this year. You kind of expect a little bit extra maybe from Rubio, as far as energy level and kind of tenacity that he brings to the game, just because he is facing his former team. And I think there is still a lot of, tension there. I think Rubio, every time he plays against Minnesota, and it's kind of been this way all season, he's trying to prove himself. Whether or not that works in Minnesota's favor or not, that'll be something interesting to watch as well. Jeff Teague, he's got to have a big game as well in carrying Minnesota offensively, just because, I think that it'll be mainly on Wiggins. Teague's going to have a good game just in case, Towns does have an off game with going up against Rudy Gobert. So, there's a lot of factors that, like you said before, it would obviously help if Jimmy Butler was in the lineup, just, because he is one of the, best two-way players in the league, and obviously he's an all-star. He's Jimmy Butler. It would be important to have him in this game, but, it doesn't look like Minnesota will, so that means, it sounds cliche, but next man up, and Wiggins is going to be, he needs to have a good big game for Minnesota in order to come out with a win.
Is the Jeff Teague-Ricky Rubio rivalry a real thing?
I think after the last game, when Jeff Teague kind of mm-hmm. tackled Ricky Rubio under the bench, I think there's going to be, I think it added another layer to that. Obviously you have that incident. You have, Minnesota obviously trading Ricky Rubio in the off season. There's a lot of layers to that saga that maybe, I think will, be a factor in this game. If I was Ricky Rubio, I wouldn't forget about, that play that Jeff Teague kind of body checked him into the bench. So, You know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of, you know, back and forth they got going on in that game, and if, you know, if Rubio is kind of playing with a little bit of, you know, a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, or maybe even a little bit of a, you know, kind of anger towards Minnesota and Teague. So I, you know, coming into the season, I would say that the rivalry between Teague and Rubio, or, you know, Rubio and Minnesota, wasn't that big of a deal. But, you know, with everything that's kind of transpired so far this year, especially after their last matchup, I wouldn't say it's a full-on rivalry, but there's definitely something there, and it'll be entertaining to watch for sure.
Well, it's just, it seemed almost maybe a little more Jimmy Butler against Rubio in the mm-hmm. first game, but it's still Teague and Butler definitely pushing around Rubio and working him. When it's to the extent that the broadcasters bring it up, and usually they don't like to draw attention to that kind of thing, then you know it's they're really harassing somebody. And so I don't know. I always am a big fan of this kind of thing where it's the extra layer of drama added to the game mm-hmm. When players are specifically going after each other. And so maybe I'm just looking for it, but I feel like it'll be something that comes out in like the third quarter of this game, where there's an extra push or there's an extra shove, and it's definitely going to happen between Teague and Rubio, I feel.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I really, you know, just for, you know, Minnesota basketball fan standpoint, it would be nice to see Jimmy Butler on the court regardless, or in general. But especially for this game, it'd be fun to see if he was out there, what would transpire, especially with Jay Crowder too. I mean, that's another aspect of this that we haven't touched on. It would be interesting if Jimmy Butler was out there, don't get me wrong, but it'll be interesting even without Butler on the court, and who knows, maybe if he's with the team, if he makes the trip to Utah, maybe we'll see a lot of that talking from the bench too. So it's, there's a lot of different aspects of this game that'll make for entertaining TV for sure.
Absolutely. Before we head out here, do you think the Timberwolves can sweep this weekend?
Yeah, I when I'm looking at that Utah game, just the way that Utah is playing, that's the game that I'm looking at, and I don't really know about. I think it'll be a close game. I think Utah, edges Minnesota in that game. But, you know, Minnesota, I think we'll take care of Dallas on Friday, and that'll be, you know, I think that they're kind of refocused now, especially after that Memphis game. But, that Utah game is going to be tough. They're rolling, they're playing really well. And, I think that, you know, they're kind of that team that I don't want to call them, you know, a Cinderella when, you know, obviously March Madness, but I don't want to call them a Cinderella because they're in the playoff race, or they're in the playoffs right now. But they're kind of playing like a team that's trying to prove everybody wrong. And that's, you know, at this time of the year, that's a dangerous team to play. And I, when looking at Utah, I think personally that they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to snag that last spot. But, they're a dangerous team. And I think it'll be a tough test for Minnesota.
We know two things for sure. It's going to be a tight game in Utah, and it's going to be a very important one as far as playoff standings. That is 100% for sure. Mitch, thanks for coming on again. Thanks for joining the show. Always a pleasure to have you. And thank you to the listeners for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.